Tonight, I want us to look at how giving benefits our personal life. Now, remember this. Every ministry, every walk, every step that God has given us, we so often forget, or we've never thought about it, that everything we do for the Lord is blessed to the point that God said, I'm going to, you know, open the windows of heaven and pour out so much that you can't handle it, that it's going to, your cup is going to overflow. That's where our cup overfloweth part, which is our gift of giving. And again, folks get this caught up into the money part and say, that's what preachers are talking about. The gift of giving is giving from the very, yes, it does include money. It includes finances. How do you keep a lights on? Are you able to have service if you don't have that? And many churches can't anymore. They're shutting those doors and closing it out on, and you see it gradually, like church after church, like the lights are being turned out as they go. And people are saying, why? Well, the why is sin. And when Satan loves to either trip up or trick Christians into believing, if you play so close to the truth without really telling the truth, unless you have studied, unless you have focused on it yourself in your own individual life, it sounds good, meaning, look, we don't need to come together in the church because we can just study separate from the church. We can go out to, you know, have our different groups here and our different groups there. And, you know, that just makes me feel so good because we can go and it's always the, you know, the good feeling. Oh, you're just worth so much, Brother Randy. You're just much so worth. And you know, I want you to know that it doesn't matter what you do with your life. You are so loved. And, you know, I get sick on some of this stuff. It really, really bothers me because the truth of life is in the hurt and pain of life. Now, everyone says, well, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, it's sold a whole lot of books. I'm okay, you're okay. But I'm not okay, and you're not okay. That's the facts of life. Every one of us are broken in some way. Some of us are broken in multiple ways that we can't even count. But God says, here's what I want you to do. I'm giving you life. Now, if God gave us this life, and God loves us, there's a purpose for every pain. There's a purpose for every difficult problem, circumstance within my life. I'm a Christian. Circumstances have no control over me. The Holy Spirit does. Well, why then do I deal with circumstances? Because I get myself into it. If I would listen to God, and I would do everything exactly the way the Lord has called me to do it, then all of those circumstantial things would not even show up unless it's caused by someone else. But I can't do that. I can't walk that close with the Lord. Jesus was the only one that ever could. And He is God incarnate. God came down because you and I can't do it. Okay, so we're given life, and God said, okay, I want you to go out. I want you to enjoy life, and I want to promise you this, that I will continue to bless you. For every step you take for me, I'll show you a bright path. You'll always see me there on that path. But the key is His path, not our own. But because God loves us, He says, I'm going to let you go out there and here's your life. I think it came out in a message the other day. When I met Jesus at the foot of that cross, and I stood up, born again, could never be taken away from me. And yet then God says, now, Larry, go do life. But at some point, maybe even right then, maybe right after, at some point, I'm going to require of you a commitment for what I've called you for. Well, yes, Lord, here am I, use me. You know, it's easy to say, but it's not as easy to follow through with. Lord, why didn't you let me know this before I got married and had 15 kids? You know, I'm going to have to give it to them. I've got to do this, and Lord, I just don't have time for you. If you got 15 kids, you need to be doing, I know it. You need to go to work somewhere and do something for the Lord. Do you rest and do? I'm sorry. Randy Kidder, why do you lead me into things like that, son? Okay, how giving benefits our personal life. Now remember, personally, God says, I'm going to let you live your life. But remember, I've given you life. I'm the one who breathed into you life. And I'm allowing you to enjoy. Are we not still told to enjoy the fruit of our labor? But are we not also told in the same statement, labor? Do something. And you do that, and in the process, you serve God. But now, I believe, personally, that in every life that there's a special ministry God has called us to for a specific time. And folks, it could be for 30 seconds. I don't know. It could be at a certain time God says, Gene, I'm going to give you eternal life because you said yes to my son, and I want you to enjoy this life knowing it will always be yours eternally. But I'm going to call on you one day. It's going to take you about 30 seconds to look at a child, pat him on the head, and say, I love you. But the Lord says, how giving benefits our personal life. The giving of your time. It seems like I preach on this all the time. It's really different, but it's not different. It's sort of like John 3:16. Story hasn't changed. But God said, I'll give you the time, enjoy life. I'm a Christian, folks. Why would I not enjoy life? I don't have to have money to enjoy life. I don't, you know, the basics of life. Here's the happiness. Doesn't matter whether you're a multimillionaire, none of this matters. Who's the happiest? Those who were able to have shelter for their family, food on the table, able to pay their bills. That was it. When you have that, your family's taken care of. But I don't know, Jones across the street, see what he has. Yeah, I see what he has. You also look around, you might see a whole bunch of it. It's the buyer's remorse because he bought it all. It's sitting out there. Now he doesn't want anything to do with it. Number one, giving makes us more like God. Are we not to mirror Christ, who is God? James 1:5, God gives to all generously and, look at that, ungrudgingly. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to lead you over here. Jesse, I'm going to lead you over here, and I want you to give that individual $50. But now, because you griped with me, Jesse, about doing the $50, I just upped it to $100. Now, let's see where your faith is. Haven't you ever seen people who would do that? Or you hear of them? Well, no, they just came up. They gave me $50 and said, Jesus loves you.
Just the other last week, actually, Todd was over at Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
And he had placed his order and everything. And this little girl came up to him, two of them. And they said, your meal has already been paid for. And he couldn't believe it, what he just heard, you know. And he went back and talked to the mother, and she said, we try to do one deed every day.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah. See, America's not dead, folks. We're not destroyed yet. But another thing, Hunter and I was sometimes talking to Hunter's like talking to an adult. But Hunter and I was talking, coming in, and about, you remember the little girl bought the ice cream for the police? And I said, Hunter, do you know the bad thing with that? Well, Papa, what would be bad with it? When an act of kindness makes national news with buying some police officers ice cream. I said, that's the sad part. See, when one act of kindness makes big news, hey, somebody was nice today. Let's put it on the front page. That has always been a fear of mine. People say, well, you know, all it is just bad gloom and doom in the newspapers. And I said, that's good. What do you mean that's good? I said, when somebody gets saved one day and it makes national news, that's bad because it makes news. But notice it. Acts of kindness and oh, gosh, I've been in New York. I understand that. I wave at everybody. You know, down at in E-Town even, but in down at White Mills and all that, people wave at you, and you know, you toot the horn and wave. I don't have any idea who they are, but I wave at them. I never did do that. That didn't work for me in New York. Okay, God gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. So if God does not grudgingly give me life, give me a beautiful family, give me a beautiful a church family, when God does that and he does it ungrudgingly, why would I be grudging what God has called me to do? Jesse, give them the $100. Don't argue with it. 1 Chronicles 29:14. That's one of the reasons I was reading Chronicles, isn't it? Everything we have has come from you, Lord, and we can only give you what is yours already. That's why we get. The Old Testament wasn't done away with. It was fulfilled. Let's read. Remember, Jesus was quoting the Old Testament that people had a hard time with. Number two, giving draws us closer to God. More like God, which are we not supposed to continually? And we will come to a point of closest to his likeness when we step out of this body. Matthew 6:21, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. See, if God is my treasure, will I not then give him my love first? If I do not stand up for God first, what hope does my family have on their protection? Oh, you know, when people talk about it, and I've told you that before, I really have felt like a failure from that point. Because when you're gone all the time, and then you, but Satan throws that in your mind. You know, I should have been with my family. You should have stayed with them instead of going over there. There's only two people got saved. Yeah, well, both of them were multi-murderers and rapists. That's a good thing because nobody goes to prison forever, not even when you hear life without parole. It don't work. Okay, number three. If this thing don't start squeaking, we're going to talk to it in a minute. Number three, giving breaks the grip of materialism. Yes, you want to break the grip of materialism? Give it away. Well, make sure you got it paid for first. Don't be giving it away and then the bank come after that guy. Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve both God and money. We know that. Well, every Christian has heard that. Yet one of the greatest possessions by the demons within the heart of man, as I have seen, is the love of money. There's no sin in having money. The sin is in not using what you have to bless others. God knows if you remember the story I told you about and Gwendolyn and them down at Edna, at this church where I grew up, and you know, she's had 14 children, and that's a lot of babies, isn't it, in old days. She had 14 kids, and 13 kids at that time, and she was with child on the 14th kid, and right in church, anyway, another woman comes up to her, boy, it's all my family, that's great, but that comes up to her and says, "Don't you think it's just about time that you quit having any more kids? You've already got 13. Well, that lady had no children, and she was really down on Gwen. So another relative speaks up and says, "Well, Gert, I reckon God knows who's fit to have kids and who ain't." Now, there's where I believe eating on the ground really started. Because a lot of plates fell that day. So when people say, "Well, how come they've got it this good or they've got it that good?" You don't know how good somebody has it, folks. Nor do you know the calling of that individual. So you cannot serve both God and money. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Once again, when will you be able to have all that extra money? When you don't care whether you have all of it or not. That's when you'll get it. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain." Boy, there it is. Especially they put it in the stock market. "So uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our," look at that word, "enjoyment." See, God did not put us down here to where we're going to hold our head down and say, "Yes, I've got these rules and those rules, and I just got to finish this life up with all of these rules." God says, "I put you down here to enjoy life. I've given you a life to enjoy." But we can't enjoy it until we realize that this life is a gift. I have one shot. Everybody in here has got one shot at this. And that's the life you're doing right now. The afterlife, which we are going to, and everyone, period, will be, the afterlife is in addition to this life. And yes, we will continue to work for the Lord. And I don't know what planet we're going to be on. Did you watch that science station again yet about that world that they found that, you know, had a sun like ours and the earth was about, I think. I can't remember how many 100,000 years it'll take us to get there. But I know a way of seeing the complete universe. I won't even have to have a suit on. It'd be white. But I get to see the universe as soon as I leave this body. And I'll wait, because I'm not going to trust somebody to push the button down here. "Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Have all the money in the world, all the wealth you can think of. And you look at them and you see emptiness. They've got, people say, "Well, you know, they've got it all. They really have it good." No, actually, Lazarus, the beggar, had it good. The other one had it pretty good too. You know, not everybody gets come out of that grave when they're stinketh. Number four, giving strengthens our faith. Lord, I trust you to give me more. I trust you in this, Lord, but you just told me to give this amount there, and how am I ever going to get it back? You know, the best way, if you're going to help somebody, if you have the means to help them, just don't expect to ever get it back. And I remember the guys over the years when they'd come to me for $20, $20, you know. Jim Vance said, "$20, and I promise you I'll pay you back." And I said, "Okay, here's your $20. Now, when you pay that back, you may ask me for another loan. I don't see them anymore. Well, that's easier for me. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Give, but not with regret or out of a sense of duty. For God loves the one who gives gladly. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for you, for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Trust the Lord. But what hampers this? That first step. That first step. Or you have an individual who says, okay, I'm going to try this tithing stuff. Now, Brother Larry, I went through those classes with, and I want to try this tithing stuff. And I guess they tried the tithing stuff, and about 3 weeks later, they were leaving because there was not a surprise of a check in the mail like it was being told. And I said, well, and I didn't tell them that story either. Number five, giving is a test of my maturity, being mature in Christ. Giving is a test of my maturity. Luke 16:11. If you are trustworthy with worldly wealth, untrustworthy with worldly wealth. See, I told you the brain thing has come. Who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Oh, I know. Now, some of you boys, I know you're going to have a hard time seeing us Marines guarding heaven. But we're all going to get that. Norm wouldn't even look up. Look at that. He didn't even look up.
I'm thinking something funny to say.
Number six, giving is an investment for eternity. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Remember, now Timothy's one. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. So this is Apostle Paul telling Timothy what he needs to be doing. Use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasures for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and you will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. How many people have you met, folks? That's all they wanted was some kind of peace. And you see them close their eyes and realize they were never at peace. And that's a horrible thing to watch with folks. But it's just as wonderful to watch a Christian as they cross over. And now, see, that's where the shouting time almost comes for me anymore, getting to see that. God, I remember one time it bothered me that Jesus, they killed him as a kid. So all of this time I'm thinking, if I'd have been there, I'd have figured out a way to have protected him. Now, in that kid-like mind, seems like that's what the Lord spoke of, wasn't it? If we do not come as a little child, we ain't going, are we? That's why some of us men go back to our childhood. Yeah, well, because after you've worked all your life, you got a little money, and that's why they're getting a new Mustang today, because they couldn't afford one when they were a teenager. Okay, by doing this, you will be storing up treasure. Okay, now remember this, but this is not, he's not telling Timothy, this means that you're sending up a plank one board at a time for your mansion. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what you do down here to glorify God. Just builds heaven. Don't we realize the touch of love, the look that you will have for somebody, and you give them, a child especially, that look of love and concern. The Lord's winking at you on that one because you just got an attaboy from God. And no attaboys are any count on that, but the one from God. And the best attaboy you'll ever get, you'll hear it loud. Larry Pete, come on home. Whew. Number seven, giving blesses us in return. See, every bit of this focused around what giving does for the giver, because we skip over that a lot of times. This is why you ought to give. Well, you ought to give because you love people and you love to give. You love to share. Proverbs 22:9. Generous people will be blessed. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. You see that? All your work. And in everything you put your hand to. A wise business man will give to God first. And then when you give to God first, God blesses the giving. He blesses the heart, folks. It doesn't matter how much. It has nothing to do with the amount. I'll give you all some extra scriptures. Look up Luke, out of Luke, Proverbs, and Psalms. Number 8, giving makes us happy. Acts 20, verse 35. Now, this is a quote concerning Jesus. Because the reason I'm saying that is, you don't have Jesus actually saying this in Scripture. You have the disciples saying, this is what Jesus says. Has said. So that's the reason I did it that way. This is a statement they said that Jesus made. There is more happiness, more blessed to give than to receive. But now looking through it, you won't find that exact statement from Jesus. But the ones who followed him said he said it. And said, yeah, but he also said, that was Peter that said, and he also said, you don't work, you don't eat either. There is more happiness in giving than in receiving. Remember the twinkle in the kids' faces when you defend them? I don't care whether you're in a shopping line or what you are, but they just, you know, to hear someone be kind to them. The greatest blessing I would receive was over the 5-year-old kid at the jail years ago when I started as chaplain, and he acted up during visitation. He didn't want to come back out there, and I look out the door, and there his mother is, had a harness on him, dragging him down the hallway. And he was kicking and squalling. And I mean, I go down there, and I read her the riot act real quick, and I said, you ever do that again, ever, you'll be in this jail. And I could just see the sparks, you know, well, the next visiting day, they come in, he comes straight to my office and walks straight in, crawls up in my lap, starts telling me everything she did wrong all week. And she came in, she said, Chaplain Fence, he's threatened me all week that he's going to come and tell you this. She said, I didn't do half that stuff. And the little feller said, well, you have in the past, Mom. But that was a blessing for me. 2 Corinthians 8:12. If you are really eager to give, then it isn't important how much you have to give.